Let's pray together. Fathers, we come before you. We pray for your word to speak. We pray for you, your will to be done, and we pray for you to accomplish the work that you see fit. Lord, help us to humble ourselves before your word. Help us to humble ourselves, and we pray, O Lord, speak to us by your word. We pray with fervency, Lord, speak to us by your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. He's a little pink guy, introduced in around 1989, before many of you were born, way after many of you were born. But he's a little pink guy, and he made his notoriety or his fame by battling people, or actually other robots and other toys powered by Supervolt. He has long ears and he wields two giant drumsticks and a large bass drum. And as he fights his battle, in the background you hear one saying, "It keeps going and going and going and going," and you know his name as what? The Energizer Bunny. But did you know that he was a response to the Duracell Bunny? And in Europe, the Duracell Bunny made his appearance first, and Duracell would copy, or he was actually a racing bunny that would run, had a giant Duracell battery on his back. And merely because of a failure to renew his trademark, was the Energizer formed as a tongue-in-cheek response to the Duracell Bunny. But the Duracell Bunny has made his way into history now as the one that keeps what church? Going and going and going and going. And this morning, as we open the scripture, this is the theme, and if you've seen it in John's song this morning, as you've seen it in the hymns and the songs that we have sung this morning, "He will hold me fast, steadfastly, patiently, continually." The song that Belinda sang about love continuing to go, and the hymn we sang, continuing to go. This is love. This is the continual gift that continues to give. So this morning, love, it keeps going and going and going. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to 1 Corinthians and turn to chapter 13 with me. To give you some context, we began in chapter 12 with Paul moving towards spiritual gifts as a way of speaking on behalf of God. As a way of speaking love, as a way of speaking and ministering to others. The gifts are given for the betterment of the body, and that we might proclaim that Jesus is Lord. These are what spiritual gifts are for. They're not to lift anyone up in the church. Spiritual gift of teaching is not given to our Sunday school teachers so that people look and say, "Wow, what great teachers." Spiritual gifts are given so that those in our classrooms can be fed by the Word of God. The spiritual gift of service is not giving so that people can go, "Wow, what great servants." It's so that people at a funeral can be fed and have a place to sit down. Because people are serving the Lord. Spiritual gifts are given for the good of the body, that we might proclaim Jesus. And finally, in the last couple of weeks, we looked at this. Love is a demonstration, not a cultural thing in which we say, "Boy, I hope I find love in my life." Have you found love? Have you found true love? We're looking for love more than we are demonstrating love and executing things in love. The Bible points us to executing in love. And so today, we zoom in to love and more of the description of love. We looked at some of the attributes in the last couple of weeks of how Jesus fulfilled this. Today, we'll look at the time in which it is fulfilled. So this is very important. We've learned how love executes. Today, we're going to learn how long love executes, or to what degree love will execute. We've looked at how and the manner in which it's patient and kind, it bears with those, it loves the truth. Today, we look at, well, how long will these things continue? How long does love go? So, verse 7 of chapter 13, if you're with me, please say amen. Are we ready to dive in? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never what?
Ends.
Here's how love executes. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envy. It does not boast. We looked at those last week. Today, love bears, believes, hopes, endures, and verse 8, love never ends. So, here's Paul's point. Love overcomes all deficiencies. Love overcomes all deficiencies. It bears when it needs to. Look in verse 7. It bears all things. Love bears when it needs to. And what does it mean to bear something? Well, Galatians chapter 6 helps us out when it tells us to bear one another's burdens. Not the fuzzy little animal that steals your honey, but it is bearing with, or helping, sharing the load. Bear with one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2 says, and so fulfill what? Bearing with one another is a fulfillment of the law of Christ, the law of loving. Bearing with one another's burdens. And I know that it's easy for us to say, I'm just tired of it. I'm worn out. I have given more than I should have. I'm sick of it. Time to move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's a very different way of looking at what love is and how love executes. It executes over a season of time, bearing burdens for those who need it. Look what else love does. What's next in our list in verse 7? Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love believes when it needs to. Love believes what is true and acts accordingly. Here is the love of the world will say this: as long as I feel like loving, I will love. And you've heard this and you hear it a lot. I don't love you anymore, therefore I'm going to act differently. I'm going to change the way that I act and I live. And this is not what biblical love says. It is willing to believe and endure. Love believes what is true and it acts upon it. Biblical love. Now remember, I must remind you, when we talk about love today, we're not talking about romantic love and at a wedding style love, marriage love. This is love within the church. So remember this. It makes so much more sense when we read the scripture how it was intended to be read. Love believes what is true and right and is willing to act on those principles. Let me give you a biblical example, and it's church discipline. When people are acting in a way that they should not be acting in church and the church does nothing about it, what that proves is we're not being loving to our brothers and sisters. We don't believe God's word when he says that we need to do something about it. So when people are not acting in faith, we need to go and talk to them. Matthew chapter 18. We need to go address the situation. That is loving. Ignoring it and letting people writhe and wither in their sin, like the wicked witch of the West, falling to the ground because their sin is destroying them and doing nothing, is not loving to our brother. Love believes the truth and then acts upon it. It does not let deception bring death to a brother. So friends, brothers and sisters, let me encourage you. If you want to be loving to your brother, believe the truth and then act accordingly. It is not loving to let someone die in their sins and not bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Am I wrong? Psalm 141:5. Let a righteous man strike me, the psalmist says. Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. Let not my head refuse it. Brothers and sisters, if you were impaired in some way, and you were walking into a street and did not know it, and all those around you said, well, it wouldn't be loving to change the direction of someone. He's doing what he wants to do, so it's unloving to not let someone do what they want to do. We would all think that that is preposterous, ridiculous, crazy. It's not always loving to let someone do what they want to do, because we believe the truth of God, that it is best. And sometimes I want things that are wrong. Friends, may we be willing to stand for the truth in a loving way and believe what is true and right. Is Paul right here? Is he true? I believe so. Look, what's the third thing? Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love, verse 7, love hopes all things. Love hopes when it needs to. We have redefined really the biblical meaning of hope in our word, and I don't know that it was on purpose. It's just the way that our vocabulary works out. But we look at hope as and say things like, "Boy, I hope that it rains tomorrow," don't we? I hope the Saints win. I hope the Tigers win. We say things of hope as a wish. Or this is what I desire to be. But the hope that this is talking about is not I hope this thing will come to pass. But it is an anchored hope in which we have a more firm belief in something than we do in something else. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You know the old song. It is a hope that is anchored. It's placing your anchor in something rather than something else. I'm hoping in this. And so when he says that love hopes all things, meaning that love is anchored and is able to endure, the next phrase there, the things that come against it. Look at 1 Timothy 4:10. Maybe this will help us. For to this end we toil and strive. Paul says, hey, pastor, to this end we toil and we strive because we have set our hope set on the living God. We've anchored in the living God. And so we can endure, we can hope, we can toil, we can strive because we are anchored. Our hope is set on the living God who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. There it is. My hope is in Jesus Christ the Lord. Therefore, I can weather the storm. And that's what this hope is talking about. Love is setting our hope in Jesus Christ and is able to endure all things. That's amen in child's language. I know it. Love endures all things, and this really ties in with the hope. But love is able to endure because it has a belief in what is true. It has a hope and an anchor into what is true and right and worth anchoring into. Therefore, love is enduring. Jesus said it like this: greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Do you think it took a lot for Jesus to endure the cross? Hebrews tells us he endured the cross, despising the shame. I thought about that when John was singing. Who am I that he says, not my will, but yours be done? Willing to endure the cross, Jesus Christ our Lord was. Why? Why did Jesus Christ endure the cross? Why? Thank you, Melanie. He loved us. Love endures the object for with which it loves. That love endures for the object for which it loves. In fact, I would say this: endurance is a true test of love. If you've raised children, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's hard work. Maybe it's frustrating. Maybe it's grueling. Maybe it wears you out. Do you love your children? Endure. Marriage is hard work. Do you love your spouse? Will you endure things that you don't want for them if you love them? I've given you a definition for love that I think works well. I don't know if y'all remember it. Love is two things. Love is wanting the best for somebody and doing something about it. Okay? It's not the perfect definition, but it's a really good one. Love is wanting the best for someone and then doing something about it. Now look back at that list. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Those are ways in which love does something about it. I want the best for you, church, so I'm willing to do something about it. And this is the love we're talking about. So here's my application and my question for you. Are you a church member that loves your church? When someone offends you at church, do you bear with them? Or do you build a wall and say, that's it? Strike against that person. I'm moving on. When someone at church is unable to fulfill a task that they may need to, are we willing to say, I will endure with you? I'm willing to correct you, brother, because I care about you. And this is not biblical, not God-honoring what you're doing. These are the kind of brothers and sisters we need. And all of it is done in love. It's not like we're running around trying to knock people down and find people's faults. It's that we are willing and able to fill that need and to address things that need to be addressed. This is loving. And this is what we need, brothers and sisters. This is what we need. When one of our church members passes away, like Miss Sherry did this week, the church surrounds EL and surrounds the family and says, we're here for you, brother. When she was on her deathbed, the church come around her and say, we're willing to serve with you, brother, because we love you. We are enduring with you. When people are sick and having surgery and ailing, we're willing to go and visit and pray with them. When our church family is hungry or in need or has a difficult time, we're willing to say, we're standing with you in this. We are the church. We love you. Church, may we be that church. May we be the people of God that are bearing with one another. Love does not end. Verse 8. Say it with me, please. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Love never ends. Say it with me again. Love never ends. Many of us can understand what love might do and how love might do it, but sometimes we miss the how long. Jeff and Amy are having complications in pregnancy. Amy is in the hospital for many weeks. It's not just to say, hey, we're going to pray for you, and then leave them alone for 14 weeks while they're dealing with things. It's to say, hey, we're praying for you today. And then coming back, hey, we're still praying for you. And Amy, yes, we're praying for you. And we're still praying for you. We are enduring. Love is not ending. Christian, we need long-lasting love. I'll say it again. Christian, we need long-lasting love because this is the love of God. Are you with me? You understand? God's love doesn't quit. You have messed God over and over. And he didn't say, oh, Christian, that's you did that 48 times. That's enough. I'm not loving you anymore. No, the Bible teaches opposite of that. The Bible says that love never ends. And we are forgiven each and every time, Christian, that we sin. This is the love we need. It doesn't mean there are no consequences. Don't hear me say that, because there are consequences for wrongdoing. Yes, and there should be and there must be. But that does not mean that love ends because consequences are there. You hear the difference? Love doesn't end just because consequences for bad decisions continue. That doesn't end the love. Love does not end. This is God's love. So watch this. Let's talk about God's love for a moment. Not man's love, but God's love. Man's love does not bear all things. It does not always give and live generously when it needs to. But God does. Man's love does not always believe the truth and what is best and what God gives us. But the Lord knows the truth, and He will not change the truth to allow us to get away with things. God's love believes the truth. Man's love does not always hope in God when it needs to. But God's love is the anchor that holds strong in which we can hope in. Man's love does not endure suffering of all things. But Jesus Christ demonstrated His love and continues to by bearing our cross, by living the perfect life for us. Jesus' love endured for our sake. Man's love runs out, but God's love does not. So here's my question. Are you manifesting in this church? This is for you. This is my question for you listening. Are you manifesting in your church biblical love or American love? The culture of America's love. And what are you modeling after? Are you seeking to love in a biblical way? Or are you looking for love in the church? I hope somebody will love me. I hope I can find somebody to love and accept me. That's a huge difference. Let's look at God's love once again through His Word. 1 John 4, verse 7. Again there. 1 John 4, 7. Are y'all still with me? This is a big deal, a love. I know it may have heard it a lot, but this principle I hope we're getting. God's love is different than the world's love. And we are seeking after to be lovers in the way that God loved. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, hey, you people who are loved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another because, for love is from where?
God.
From God. Okay? So He is teaching us to love from the love that is from God. Love with the love that is from God. Not in our cultural love or our versions of love that are a distorted or perverted version of love. Not a redefined love, but hey, Christians, those loved by God, let us love one another. For that love is from God. Are you with me? We are to model God's love to God's people. We are to model God's love to God's people. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever loves with the love of God has been born of God. And this verse troubles many and troubled me for a season. Well, look, I see a lot of people who love, and I know those people aren't Christian. I see a lot of people who love others and do good things. That's true. But go back. Is that the type of love that Paul is talking about? I'm sorry, that John is talking about here. He defined our love. He set parameters on the type of love. It's not worldly love. This is godly love he's talking about. And he's saying, and whoever loves with godly love has been born of God and knows God. In other words, you cannot love with a godly love unless you're born again. So let me ask you, friend, if you're here today and you're not loving with a godly love, could it be that you're not born of God? Could it be that there is a spiritual problem in your life? Could it be that you've never surrendered yourself and said, Lord, make me new. I've tried my whole life. I've given great effort, but I can't make myself right. I repent of my sin. I surrender myself to you. Help me to love, oh God. It could be a spiritual problem if you're not loving with the love of God. Verse 8. Anyone who does not love God does not know God. Let me read that again. These are not my words. These are the words of John. Anyone who does not love with a godly love does not know God. Anyone who does not love with a godly love does not know God, because God is love. He's saying if God's love is in you, it will be out of you. Make sense? Okay, if God's love is in you, it's going to pour out of you. It's not stagnant. God's love in us is not a stagnant love that is self-centered. That is the worldly love that says, look, I want to find somebody to love me and accept me because love's about me. God's love is, it's in us that it might flow out of us. Anyone who does not love God does not know God, because God is love. Now watch this in verse 9. In this, the love of God was made known or made manifest among us. Here's how love was demonstrated. Y'all know this answer. You don't have to keep reading. How was God's love made known to us? Jesus Christ, His Son. That's what it says. That God sent His only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Got it? Think about it like this. God's love did not just focus and center around merely around Himself. It overflowed in that it flowed upon us and demonstrated itself. Love demonstrated itself in the life and the work of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's godly love. It's not a love to be stagnant. It's a love that is shared and overflows and demonstrates through that sacrifice, through that endurance that we've already talked about. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love with God's love one another. Christian, in the context of church, do you hear it? Beloved, loved by God, you people who are loved by God, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Let me finish before we get practical. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us. And His love, the godly love, is made perfect in us. By us loving each other, God's love is made complete. It's made perfect. You get the idea? Let me play this out for you. Unless brothers and sisters in Christ are loving one another, then God's love is not complete. And that word perfect, complete. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's love is not complete unless we are sharing it amongst each other. That's the intention of the God-like love that's in us. This is why people cannot fairly say, well, I'm a Christian, but you know, I don't really like going to church and being a part of church. I can just be as good of a Christian on my own as I can at a church. The problem with that ideology is that it doesn't understand a passage like this that says God's love, you can't function with God's love alone, because it is not perfect, it is not complete unless it is shared amongst brothers and sisters. Does that make sense? This is just what the Scripture's teaching us. It's got to be shared or it's not perfected. It's not made complete. We need togetherness to be, to fulfill God's love. Now, this ties exactly in with what we've been hearing from Paul about the spiritual gifts, serving one another and being with each other. So how do we get practical in all this? How do we get practical in all this? Here's the practicality. Live generously. Take your love, take your desire, take your time, take your effort, take your resources, take your blood, take your sweat, take your tears, and send them out. Use yourself on the body of Christ and the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Spend yourself. Jesus applauded the woman who came and took this expensive jar of ointment and dumped it out all over his feet, while everyone around her said, "Why are you wasting that expensive? We could have fed the poor with that." Jesus said, "You'll always have the poor. You won't always have me." She wasted herself on me, and it was good. This is the type of love. This is the type of love that we as a church need to proclaim. Make a statement with your love. Not about yourself, about God. It's God's love. So how can you make a statement with your love? And here's what it is, church. I don't know. You've got to figure that out. We have people who come up here every week and play music for us that we might sing the praises of God every week. Love doesn't end. It goes, and it goes, and it goes. We've got people who've done yard work in this church for longer than I've been alive. Why? Because love doesn't end. It goes, and it goes, and it goes. Make a statement of God's faithfulness with the way you love your brothers and sisters. We have people who visit the hospital weekly. We have people who make phone calls like they've got unlimited phone plans. This is love. We got people who have taught Sunday school classes, who have invested financially in this church more than I've made in my lifetime. Love gives, and God's love gives. And gives generously. Is that practical? Is that practical? I hope so. Give yourself, church member, give yourself. Brother and sister, give yourself. Give yourself, because love never ends. It is a constant giving. We've looked at this passage, the end of this passage before, but let me just read through it because it's helpful. As for prophecies, they're going to pass away. We've looked at this weeks ago. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it's going to pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect knowledge, I'm going to insert the word knowledge there, when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up my childish things because my knowledge, a better knowledge came. For now we see dimly in a mirror but then when that perfect knowledge comes, that epignosis comes face to face. Now I know in part. I have gnosis. But then I will have epignosis, full knowledge, even as I have been known. The contrast is all of these gifts, as we've seen, they're passing away, and they will pass away shortly in Paul's lifetime here. But love is not going to pass away, and that's exactly what he says. So now faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. Why is the greatest of those three love? You see, faith, hope, and love abide. But faith, we don't need that for all eternity. When we die, We don't need faith. We want Jesus right in front of us. We don't need hope to make it through the struggles of life. But love, love, what did we say together? Love never ends. We will always love God, and He will always love us. It is the great one. So friends, brothers and sisters, may we execute, and may we execute everything with love, because it is what will last, and we are to demonstrate the love of God. Now go be practical. Go love. And I've told you the last 2 weeks, go be great lovers. Let's pray together. Lord, all too often we love ourselves more than we love our neighbor. But you have taught us to love our neighbor with the same passion and zeal with which we naturally love ourselves. Lord, help us to be great lovers. Help us to consider others above ourselves, as you've told us in your word. Oh God, humble us. You have loved us greatly. Share your love with others by using me. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.